Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to this week in edition of Ask Dr. Ava on the Elepelesis Network. Yes, this is Brother Terrence, her co-host, and our sister Dr. Ava may drop in. She may drop in tonight, but we're going to have a powerful and amazing show tonight. Later, we're going to be talking about the international training conference going on in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But we're going to get into that later. But once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava, the weekly blog talk here on Elevated Places Network. We want to thank everyone for tuning in online, on the phones. We're here for those that want to ask questions of our guest tonight. Call 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. If you would like to make a comment or ask a question when we bring on our wonderful and amazing guests tonight. So, as always, we usually open up with our sister Dr. Ava, but now we're going to go ahead and throw it to me, Brother Terrence. And we want to make sure that we continue, as always, to lift up the name of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because as we're watching throughout the world, throughout the day, is that this time that we're living in is so dark and there's so much stuff going on. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did years ago, the time and what must be done. It is not something that is old. The Quran is 1,400 years old. We say Jesus came 2,000 years ago. And we're still studying the Bible. We're still studying the Quran. So if it was just a couple of years ago that we heard the time of what must be done lectures from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, those are fresh. Savior's Day 2020, the unraveling of a nation. The Criterion, July 4th, 2020. This past Savior's Day, the Swan Song, Savior's Day, February 27th, by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Continue to listen. Study those words, study those messages, and study all of the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and get some deep insights. And shout out to our international representative, Student Minister Akbar Muhammad, this past Saturday. There was a celebration for his 80th birthday, and we learned a lot of good, rich history. And stay tuned. We may hear from that brother very soon here on Ask Dr. Ava. Also, always go to MinisterAva.com to get the latest word from our sister, some of her classic books, A New Way of Life, Real Love, Force and Power of Being, The Master's Class. You can go back and look at it. So always keep up to date on what's going on with Minister Ava by going to MinisterAva.com and check it out. Also, you can get more of the life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught today by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, one of his student ministers, every Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. Or join us tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at study.noi.org, study.noi.org. So we're going to have a wonderful show. And before tonight, you know, I'm usually co-hosting with Dr. Ava, but tonight we have my sister, attorney Pamela. We're going to bring her on in a second, who's co-hosting with me. But she has something that she wants to share, and I just wanted to let us know that we are living in a troubled time. There was a decision that came down, West Virginia versus the EPA, that pulled the power from the Environmental Protection Agency to help stop regulations of pollutants in our city. So you have Cancer Alley down in Louisiana, mm-hmm. where they call sacrifice zones, and in Houston, Texas, where they put these petrochemical plants. And petrochemicals are used by natural gas and oil companies, and they spew out all types of chemicals that cause all kind of health issues, cancer, and just a whole lot of things damaging to our communities. They take over the land. But the petrochemicals are building fertilizers. They're building pesticides. Their makeup, their plastic, this is about everything that we use are from petrochemicals. But those petrochemical plants are put into our community, and they pollute our communities. And everybody is just destroying our communities, and now the EPA has less ability to regulate the fossil fuel industry, and we're watching that. We already are seeing the kickback from Roe versus Wade and the decision that has come down on that, and we're watching it, and some people may have different views on the whole issue of abortion and pro-choice, pro-life, but the real issue is what the Supreme Court is doing and turning back laws that have been set, so we need to watch and see what is coming up next and what is getting ready to take place in this country, as we also have seen more killings of our people. I saw an incident. I didn't get all the details. They threw a brother in the back of the paddy wagon or the van, and the officer stopped abruptly, and the brother, he was not sitting down. He flew to the back of the van because of the abrupt stop and ended up paralyzing himself. And when they tried to take him out the van, they were just throwing him all around, saying, "You okay? You all right?" Not even knowing that he was, and not even finding out or checking, because he couldn't move, that he was actually paralyzed from the injury based off the officer driving. And we got more and more stuff of more killings, and not just police killings, but shootings and killings in our own community that we have to stop, that we have to do something about. And that's why the minister said we have to make our community a safe and decent place to live. And that's one of the things that we will be talking about and addressing tonight. So we have a wonderful show. And once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. And our sister may drop in just a wave, but she is on an assignment and doing some things, as you always know, to help the Messiah in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So just know that wherever she is thinking about these callers. She's thinking about you on this show. And we want to let you know that she loves all of you all. Thank you all for tuning in. And make sure you go tell someone else to join tonight. But I heard that voice, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our sister, Attorney Pamela, to give her words and tune in, because she has a powerful show every Tuesday night, Time for Justice. And y'all just gotta come on Tuesday night. You know, we extended. We're not just on Thursday. We're on Tuesday night as well, and giving more and more powerful words and information out there. But straight out of Houston, Sister Attorney Pamela. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam, Brother Terrence, and all praises are due to Allah. Thank you for that, those comments, and thank you for your words, your insightful words. And I would like to just greet the listeners of the Elevated Places, and I thank Allah for Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. And as you said, we're gonna, you know, continue to do the show in her absence. We're part of this team, and as you were saying, brother, the brother who was paralyzed after the video shows his head being slammed against the back of a police van, you were saying that's a brother by the name of Randy Cox. And apparently this happened in New Haven, Connecticut. And according to these news stories, he is paralyzed. And, you know, it's just further evidence, as you're saying, about the dark time and the killings that are going on. And it's so very interesting, because our show on Tuesday, we really talked about the depopulation agenda and how it really, we wanted to find a way to take care of our children. We wanted to talk about how we don't want to be distracted by this confusion and all these cases and that really don't give us the wisdom. And it's very interesting because I think the Final Call newspaper this week is entitled, I believe it's entitled, is celebrating our Independence Day. And it's so beautiful. It's called Separation and Independence. And we were able to go into that and pull up an article by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And one of the things we wanted to talk about is how we have been victimized by these depopulation acts. As the Honorable Elijah Muhammad quotes, he said, for 400 years, the white man swallowed us, the black man of America, up. He did not put us in a hole of the earth, but he swallowed us up by keeping anything like wisdom from coming to us. And we really dug into that as lawyers. We had Sister Sadia Kareem. We had Sister Judge Nichelle. And we talked about some of the tactics that are used in the law, trial tactics that are used every day that increase. We're seeing an increasing in the mean-spiritedness. We're seeing that there's this genocidal plot, but they're always trying to distract us. So we talked about our children. We really wanted to just make sure we're focused on the right issues. We talked about black youth and how they're more likely detained and to receive relatively more severe disposition than white. Now, one of the things you brought up were some of the killings that are going on in the different communities. As we know, the police shootings that are going, you know, police shootings, we know that these shootings in these schools and all kinds of things that are going on, and that's not in the black community. But in our community, there's surely a need for conflict resolution. We also talked about, we dealt with Margaret Sanger. We chose to look at the cases. You kind of referenced this case out of the Supreme Court, Dobbs, State Health out of Mississippi. But we also wanted to bring up the depopulation agenda of Margaret Sanger and how the Planned Parenthood was to limit the growth of black population, and how Margaret Sanger, who was the founder, the national organization founder of Planned Parenthood, she considered blacks and other minorities as inferior. So we kind of just delved into, you know, what may be part of that whole genocidal plot. People really had some strong views on that. You know, we talked about, of course, children and how there's a targeting of families where parental consent is being circumvented and they're trying to give children shots without their parents. And we really hit a subject that I think was so important, kind of didn't want to delve into it, but this issue about cannabis and vaping and this story about how these drugs are causing problems and hallucination and paranoia, and how this cannabis, this vaping, this case called out of New York Times talking about psychosis and addiction and chronic vomiting and talking about this weed, June 23rd, 2021 article. And we know our brother, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, has definitely been giving us information for a while now about these pot plots. But it just was very interesting to see how insidious this new cannabis that's gone from 4% in 1995 THC levels, and they're saying today the THC levels are over 95% with some of this vaping or whatever that, or the THC, which it looks really harmful in some ways. So we wanted to talk about that as parents, because these are the things that we have to know the knowledge to keep ourselves on the path, you know, going toward independence. And so those are some of the issues that we talked about. I just wanted to give a shout out real quick, Brother Terrence, to the Final Call newspaper. because as you well know, a lot of my articles I get right out the final call, and the final call won the 2022 National Newspaper Publishing Association award. Let's see, they got 5 contest awards. This is according to this article in the newspaper this week, and this is a public. This is a group that it consists of over 235 members, publications, black-owned newspapers. So our newspaper, the best newspaper, the Final Call, won 5 contest awards. And I just want to say, you know, when looking at that, Brother Terrence, it just kind of makes you see when we pull up the Final Call online. Sometimes it talks about how from the humble beginnings in the basement of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's South Chicago home in 1979. So we thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for his work, his dedication in bringing us this knowledge. And, you know, had a couple other things, but I'll go ahead. There's an article everybody might have heard that there's a warrant that was found from 1955
right.
in the Emmett Till case. And it's just really a bizarre story to me. They talking about they want to serve it and charge her. This is what this case, you know, a warrant that was actually lost in some basement from 1955 actually says that there was probable cause to charge this lady with this crime, and at least she could have been tried for the brutal murder of our brother Emmett Till. So this is why, you know, so much of this is important. And this is one article, Brother Terrence, give me 1 minute. Got to read this, because when we talk about this depopulation and we talk about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's words of how they keep anything like wisdom from coming to us. And again, in his article, he mentioned how that's actually, you know, trickery. That's troublemaking. Making trouble is what he said. There's a really interesting article in this July 5th, 2022 Final Call, and it's entitled "The Media's Depop Prostitutes," and it's talking about censorship. This was a quote from an editorial writer in 1880. And I just want to read the last paragraph, and I'm through. But it says, the business of the journalist. Now, this is some journalist saying this. The business of the journalist is to destroy the truth, to lie outright, to pervert, to vilify, to fawn at the feet of mammon, and to sell his country and his race for his daily bread. You know it, and I know it. And what folly is this toasting an independent press? So he went on to say, we are tools and vessels of rich men behind the scenes. We are jumping jacks. They pull the strings and we dance. Our talents, our possibilities, and our lives are all the property of other men. He said, we are intellectual property. That is from A Source Laborer Untold by Richard Boyer and Herbert Marassi. And again, it's in this week's Final Call in the depopulation section. So I just wanted to give some of those thoughts. And thank you so much, Brother Terrence. I look forward to the rest of the show.
No, thank you, Sister Attorney Pamela. And that was excellent. And that wonderful and magnificent award-winning Final Call newspaper is at finalcalldigital.com. Go to finalcalldigital.com. Get your subscription of the baddest, boldest, freest paper on the planet, the Final Call newspaper. I was blessed to unload the Final Call truck in my city last night, fresh off the press. So you can see one of the brothers on the corner or coming to a door near you. Also, you can go to finalcall.com. And also that statue, they said the statue in Mississippi, or it had no statue of limitation where they can actually, you know, serve that warrant for that lady for the brutal killing and murder that she allowed to happen our brother Emmett Till. So I heard Malik Zulu Shabazz out there. He said, y'all better do something before the new Black Panther Party get involved. So I was like, okay. And some folks are going down to Raleigh tomorrow to form a petition or talk to the DA. So I'm wondering what's going to happen about this, but we're going to be watching. But right now, our guest is on. And once again, you're tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Our sister may drop in, but she is on assignment. She's handling what she's handling, but we know she's always working for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at his service. And tonight we're going to talk about how to deal with some of the things we're talking about, how to build and strengthen our mind, body, and spirit. So, Attorney Pamela, all this stuff we're talking about, we have to be ready physically, we got to be ready mentally, and our spirit got to be right. So there's going to be an international, not just local, not just regional, but there's going to be an international training conference coming up July 28th through the 31st. July 28th through the 31st. You got to get there Thursday so you can be ready bright and early on that Friday. There's meet and greet. There's so much that's going to be going on. We're going to talk about it in a second. But it's going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is the 27th. Now, usually, you know, we have the annual something about after 5 years, nothing keeps going. It's like, oh, the annual, third annual, fourth annual, we stop. But this is the 27th annual international training conference. And we are blessed to not only have a friend, a brother, one who I call and claim as also my teacher, our brother, the student national assistant. He's the student, he's the national trainer for the Nation of Islam, but he's the student assistant supreme captain for the Nation of Islam. He's affectionately known as GM, Grandmaster. And we, if you ever heard of Dr. Musa Moses Powell, trained under him, have you ever heard of Soke Little John, Professor V? This brother not only is a grandmaster, but he is so humble that he invites other grandmasters and masters to this training that we can partake in and see and hear. But he's a humble brother. He's a lover of the brotherhood of our people. He travels all around the world, hailing from New York, hailing from Chicago. He's here, and I believe my mommy is on the phone, one of my other spiritual mothers, Mother Mama Aziza. We formerly know her as Mama Judy. But, you know, this power couple have so much love for the believers and those in the community that they take us under the wings. We are their children. But tonight we're going to talk about this conference. Tonight we're going to talk about this international training conference that we need to know about. So right now, on behalf of our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, I want to welcome Brother Aziz and Sister Aziza, if she's on the line with him. But if not, we got Brother Aziz on the line. Welcome to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Walaikum salam, Brother Terrence. This is Sister Aziza.
Yes, ma'am. How are you, ma'am?
I'm well. Just a little crazy right now, but, you know, I think of all.
Well, that is all right. It is okay. We thank you for getting on to the show to talk about what is going on in June about this international training that is coming up. How would you like to start? Because we got lots of questions. What do you want to give the people right now?
Well, I'll say this. First of all, let me just say thank you for having us on the show so that we can share this information to all your listeners. But thank you for all the help that you give to us as we, you know, strive to get to our nation and the community information that we know the most beautiful man in our midst today, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, would love for us to be equipped with. You know, he's been teaching and teaching and teaching all these years for our safety, for our, you know, justice, for our recognition of who we are, for our empowerment. And this conference is going to be all of that. So, like you said earlier, it's about renewing, rebuilding, and strengthening mind, body, and spirit, because that's what's going to take us through these rough times that we're about to face. We're actually facing a lot of it right now with the gas prices the way they are. You know, I'm looking
that's
at $7 a super. So, I mean, all that he has given us, you know, and you said earlier about listening to his messages again over and over, like we read the Quran and we read the Bible, because that information is timeless. You know, the time and what must be done, it's timeless. And we have to do it now. So this conference is about disseminating information from experts in different areas that will help us survive the disasters, that will help us get over some serious things in our life that causes, you know, mental illness, dealing with people in our family who are suffering from mental illness. You know, sometimes I feel mental just with having to deal with the things that are just happening from day to day, you know. And
yes,
you have
ma'am.
To be on guard. You have to have yourself protected and with the word of God to keep yourself together during this time. So we're going to be getting into all of that, the spirits. We're going to be getting into how to grow your own food. I mean, it's going to be totally lit in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I don't know. You got some questions for me? Because right now I'm like on 10. And that might sound like a little girl in a candy store right now, but...
You have opened it up real well, and you kind of laid out a real good base. Like you said, it's the renewing, you know, building and strengthening the mind, body, and spirit. But let me go. Let's go back a little bit, and you know, let me say that just in case Brother Aziz come on, I want to say the beginning, you know, day one or 27 years ago. But let's go here now. What are we looking like for the weekend? What does the weekend look like for this international training? What should people expect? And for those that don't know, we want you to go to the thevsk jujitsu.com. The VSK Jiu-Jitsu, that is JIUJITSU.com, thevskjiujitsu.com to also learn more. But what should the people expect this week on that weekend?
Well, Friday morning, we're going to kick it off early in the morning, 8 o'clock. We're going to open up and have our plenary session and be graced by the marvelous presence of National Assistant to Minister Louis Farrakhan, Minister Ismail Mohammed. We also have the Minister Nori, who's going to be on a couple of our panels for the general session and for our youth, because we have a dynamic youth component. And that conference has grown tremendously over the years. And the youth are really, you know, they're doing it. They're taking over by putting it all together themselves, you know, knowing what they need and what the other members of their group want to hear. So they got a whole line of wonderful speakers lined up. We're going to have Juma on Friday because, again, we're talking about renewing our spirit, so we can't leave out, you know, the spiritual component. We've got, breakout sessions for everyone. And this year, you know, this the whole session on Friday is open to everyone, not just the registered members of the Nation of Islam, but it's everyone, because we have to be about, you know, building a safe community. And Saturday is just an awesome day, because there will be some more workshops. Let me just back up a little bit, because, you know, we do have our workshops in security, and we're really reaching out for the church community to be a part of this, so that we can share with you information on how to secure your houses of worship, because we don't want to see the tragedies that have happened in the recent past to continue to happen. We have to be security-minded, even in our houses of worship. So we're bringing our training in to help them in that area as well. So I'm praying and I'm hoping that we get a lot of church organizations that will take advantage of this. And in addition to that, we are going to have a really nice kind of low-key martial art class with the masters on Friday night, you know, a meet and greet. And Saturday we're going to kick it off really live with some more physical activity, but also some other workshops will continue on Saturday morning. You know, we're even getting into the dignitary protection, which will be all weekend. We're going to be having experts to deal with, I don't know why it's slipping my mind right now, motorcade. Everybody loves that class. Everybody loves that class.
Right.
You know? And then we have the masters who will be teaching on the participants and demonstrating. But let me not forget the women. We got a separate children's and women's conference. Yes,
ma'am.
We're not leaving anyone out. We've got children, and we got a separate time slot for the women. So we can deal with women things, and we can also get ourselves ready to learn how to defend ourselves. And I just want to speak a little bit on that, Brother Terrence, because a lot of times, you know, women don't see the importance of training.
Right.
And
that's right.
It is so important, because we are most highly likely to be attacked. You know, most of the, and you know, most of the time, a lot of men may consider that the woman is fragile. You know, she's too fragile, she's weak, whatever, and then they feel like they can overpower you. And then women today, we work all kinds of hours, late at night, have all types of jobs. You know, we're not the stay-at-home wife, you know, as in the past. And so we're out there at times when it could be very dangerous for us. So you have to think about your safety. You have to think about the safety of your children when you're going to and fro. Because, of course, we know that there are lots of things happening, like sex trafficking and whatnot. So this is a time when women cannot afford to think that something's not going to happen to them. So we have that separate women's, but of course the main session in the Saturday is open to women and men. And after that, we're going to be partying and having a beautiful banquet, concert, live entertainment, and giving out some awards. We're going to make it stellar. Just like, you know, the BET Awards, or it's going to be really nice. We have some real beautiful people working on this event, and they're putting their all into it.
Beautiful. Yes, all ma'am. Right. Beautiful.
We got one more day. We got one more day. You're not finished.
That's right. That's right. Summertime, going on it Sunday. I hear Grandmaster's on, so I'm going to let the Grandmaster finish.
Oh, he's on?
I hope he's on.
Oh, I thought I heard him.
Oh, no, you might have heard me. I said, we got one more day.
Oh, okay. You know, because right now the Grandmaster was struggling with so many things in this time slot, and that's probably why he hasn't touched down yet. But, yes, that one more day is Sunday, and Sunday we're having a tournament. We like to call it an Olympics, but this year we're calling it a scimitar. And it is going to be absolutely wonderful for everybody, whether you're participating or not, to come and support those who are competing and just get in the spirit of the whole excitement of displaying what you've been working on all year or what you've been working on for years. And I'm just excited about that because, you know, of course, we haven't been live with each other for a couple of years. And I believe it's been maybe a couple more years since we had a tournament. So there are a lot of people excited. We have Sensei Daniel and his students and many other schools who are gearing up for this event because they want to go home with some money. They want to go home with some prizes. And I'm just excited that I'm going to be able to sit back, watch. Of course, I'm going to help. I'm just not going to sit there, but I will help.
Well, I mean, yes, this is go ahead, Sister Attorney Pamela.
Well, I just want to introduce myself, Sister Aziza. Assalamu alaikum. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It is such an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show and to hear you give this wisdom because I don't know anything about martial arts, and I did a little research when you all were coming on, and I've learned so much. I had a couple questions because I read an article that you're quoted in. It's called Seminar Provides Valuable Life Saving Tips for Troubling Times. And I just thought that was so great because as we're talking about knowledge and wisdom that we didn't have, and you all bringing this knowledge and wisdom and training to us, you know, I just think it's really beautiful. So I wanted to make that comment. And I also wanted to announce to the listeners that your husband has a show on Facebook. I think it's called Walking with the Master Show. And also, doesn't he have a show under his name as well on Facebook? He has a Facebook page with all this great information. And so that I went to it, and I thought it was really great. So I just wanted to make that comment. But I wanted to ask you, Sister Aziza, with women and training, how late is too late to get involved? You know, as we get older, we're kind of like, oh, it's too late. What do you think?
Oh, my God, wonderful question. That is so wonderful, that question. It's never too late. And, you know, if you have any body parts that move, it's not too late because, you know, really, because the older you get and the more, even if you're handicapped, you are more vulnerable. You're more vulnerable because in the eyes of an attacker, you are much weaker than them, you know? But the beautiful thing is that if you take whatever it is that you can move, and use it and find a way in which you can use it to save your life, they would never even know until they get a touch of it.
Oh, wow. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
so
ma'am.
If you
beautiful.
Try, you know, don't feel like you're too old.
Okay.
You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Ma'am.
No, not at all.
Yes.
And maybe you can't do everything somebody else does. Like, I'm not doing all them things that I used to do before or that these young girls do. I watch them and I applaud them and I'm like, yeah, get it on. But there's some things that my body has told me don't do.
Mm.
You know, if you wanna get up in the next morning feeling good,
Yes, ma'am.
Don't do that.
It seems like it's a confidence builder because, you know, in that same article, Sister Aziza, the one from last year regarding the seminar providing such valuable and life-saving tips for troubling times, Sister Minister Ava made this one comment about how she opened it up in the conference, and she said, this training convention represents a powerful and necessary component of the development of self. And then real quick, there was a brother on a seminar with your husband, you know, several seminars they had. And this one brother made a point that he said that it's some of the most important training that we do in terms of, you know, because sometimes we look at it like, oh, that's for the people who know how to do that. But what do you think?
Right.
Do you feel that any feedback?
You know, I started training because I worked in the New York City Department of Corrections, and it was very rough. And I, even though I grew up in the project, I really didn't have to fight, you know, and I wasn't someone who wanted to fight. But in the jail system with all the stuff that's going on, I had to think about how I was going to protect myself while I'm in there protecting inmates. So I started training. But when I started training, I had a very bad back condition because I was in a car accident. So, you know, I was a little afraid of what I might do to myself and so on and so forth. But I can tell you this, that my continuance in training from then to now, that condition that I have, I don't have it anymore. And I think that's from finding, you know, just continuing to move, continuing to stretch, continuing to exercise and whatnot, that my body has adapted to a much better life, a much better position. Now, in regards to your question, we have to it takes some discipline, and it may not come, you know, right away because it's something that you're not used to. But even for the novice, like this conference is even for the novice, because there are just so many simple things that you can learn, and women especially can learn some very simple things that can minimize the time that you are being captured and give you an opportunity to remove yourself from that situation. But training is so key, because even if you don't know a technique of you know, martial arts, the first thing people will try to do is run. But can most of us run?
Good point. No,
you know what I'm saying? Can we run 3-4 blocks and not feel like we're going to pass out? So whatever we do, we've got to train, and we've got to train in something. And if we're training in something because we want to be physically healthy and we want to look good, you know, keep our weight down, or we want to, you know, you got to think, well, if I'm going to be physically healthy and I'm going to look good, then that means I got to do something to protect myself. So self-defense has got to be a part of your life. Martial arts, especially, you know, for all of those who are, and it's a lifestyle. So it is not just what you learn on the mat to work on the mat, but it's what you learn on the mat to work in your life. And that's what I think also that Minister Ava was talking about.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's not just about the technique against an attacker, but you got to use these techniques sometimes with yourself, with your thinking, with a situation maybe between your husband and your wife. You got to learn how to parry. You got to learn how to block, you know. And so, you know, the blocking and the parrying and the technique is also a mental thing.
Oh.
If I'm making myself clear.
Yes, beautiful. That's beautiful. Yes, ma'am.
So I hope I answered that question.
No, you did. You did, because I heard them say something about training to help in this time of trauma. And so it made me think that, like you say, the mental, you know, like I talked to a friend today. He was in court, and he was talking about the onslaught and how he had to kind of deflect and, you know, how you have mm-hmm. to, you know, like you say, I don't know what parry and those different words, but I was thinking that it had, it, you know, it helps build, I guess, confidence.
Right. Parrying is just to get out of the way, you know.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to get out of the way of that, you know, and then I'm going to block, you know, that block also being a strike because, you know, you just, life can throw you a lot of punches.
Teach.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying?
Ma'am.
What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, you know, and to jump in here, one of the things that I would just say is that it's a beautiful thing to hear the conversation because that's multiple things. You always, it's never, as the church says, it's never too late to turn your life over to the Lord. You know, it's never too late to change your life and do good. It's never too late to train. And you know, most people say, well, I don't want to do martial arts, but martial arts first start with your mental. It starts with your mind. How do you think? You know, a lot of times we go to martial arts seminars and somebody say, well, how do you get out of a double lock choke behind the back with a knife? And the first question we'll ask, well, how did you get in that situation? What were you doing to allow yourself to be put in a situation? What's your mental awareness? What's your spirit awareness? Who are you around? Where are you going? How are you moving? How are you looking at your environment? Or how are you carrying yourself with one another in your community that you would want somebody to bring harm to yourself? So this training is not just on the physical sense. It is also about the mental. And as Mama Aziza said, can you run? Mm-hmm. So if all you know is the technique of running, can you run? How far can you run? How is your physical health? And then being able to situationally be aware of something like, oh, I'm not going to go there. Or your spirit should be in tune. Like, you know, certain people, you're like, something don't feel right. You know, like your spider sense. The deeper your spirit is and your intuitiveness, you know, you can feel out certain things. You can feel certain. So when we're talking about this international training, Mama Aziza said, we're going to talk about agriculture. You talking about fighting. You talking about having a war, but you can't feed yourself.
Wow.
Then how does that work? You know, how do you move? Like, even if you're driving for a motorcade of a dignitary, but how do you drive in your own life? Do you ride up on cars in front of you? So then when somebody come behind you, you can't get out because you all the way up on the car in front of you, but you ain't given no room to move, to avoid, to evade. Do you pull in when you park or do you back in so you can get out easier? So there's all these things, in the martial arts world that sometimes we don't understand because we're always thinking about the aggressiveness, fighting, pushing on somebody to tear up something. But when you start getting to the higher levels of martial art, you'll see so many martial artists that are grandmasters, so calm, so loving, so at peace. So it's not
like
just the movies that you'll – go ahead, Mama Z.
No, just like
this. Yeah, so it's a beautiful day.
You know, you were you're so on point, Brother Terrence, because the martial arts is like when we've trained the children. Yes, we're training the children how to fight, but we train them when to fight. And what we try to do is to avoid situations. So in order to avoid situations, we have to do some of those things that you talked about, like parking so that you could drive right out, like not parking in between, you know, vans where you can't really see your car, somebody can't really see you, you know, the proximity of where you park. When you're walking into your house, having your keys ready so you're not standing at the door fumbling for your keys, not walking down the street with your head down and talking on your phone and not paying attention to going on around you. Yeah, you can use that phone eventually as a weapon, but the bottom line is somebody is going to snuff you or get you before you even notice. So all of these things, that's why it, when we say it's a lifestyle, this is what makes it a lifestyle, because when you are training, you're training to be ready at any given point.
Mm. Right.
Beautiful.
And so we want to go deeper into this. And once again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. Our sister, Dr. Ava, is out working the work of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but she definitely extends love and wants us to continue this wonderful, powerful conversation. And we're talking about the 27th Annual International Training Conference. The 27th Annual International Training Conference. Now, mind you, at any point did I say the 27th Annual Martial Arts Training? I said the 27th Annual International Training Conference. And what that means is multiple levels of this training, rejuvenating, renewing, building, and strengthening our minds, our body, our spirit. This is actually going to start on the 28th. Because the 28th, we want to have a meet and greet. You come in, get registered, get settled, check into the hotels. Hotels are going fast. So remember, go to thevskjujitsu.com, thevskjujitsu.com, and book your hotels. Come on in to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The 28th, we're going to do a meet and greet. And then the 29th, we start off with workshops, as Mama Aziza said. And one of the powerful things is that the youth component is being run by the youth. It's not what this is what y'all going to do. No, the youth are reaching out. They're organizing. They're strategizing. They're planning. The youth are doing some very, very powerful things and powerful workshops. And then there's a whole lot of things about our mental and mental stability and mental health. Because as we are talking about, we're going into a dark hour. Do you have enough light within yourself to withstand a dark time? Because not everything, like I said, is physical. But Mama Z, I want to go back, and you know, something that Sister Attorney Pamela was talking about is the sister session that, you know, talk about some of the years and the different things that y'all have done at the National Training for Women. Not necessarily to go into the class, like we ain't talking about the class, but the importance of the trainings that you give and the conversation that women can have, because it's not just about men protecting, like you said, everybody, not only men, women, and children, because we have a special session on Saturday for children as well.
Well, thank you, Terrence, because that session grew out of a rape prevention seminar that we did many years ago. But we wanted to give the sisters wanted to make them feel, one, empowered that this is something that they can do. Two, we wanted to touch on all the areas that sometimes inhibit us from, you know, being our best selves. Like, for example, we it started out being called from victim to victor. And we dealt with the things that hold us back from caring for ourselves, the things that hold us back from seeing our worth, the things that allow us to be oppressed, the things that allow us to be bullied and, you know, victims of domestic violence, you know, these things. So we know that it starts with a mindset. So we started to just delve into these things in that first session that we had, that first conference that we had. It was very emotional for the sisters, very, very emotional. And yet once they were able to see some of those things and really, you know, dig down deep to see what it is that keeps them locked up and afraid, you know, they were able to bust through it. And then we went into our physical training, our self-defense training, and they were on 10 at that point because now they not only saw how serious this is for them, but how freeing it is for them, you know. So now their confidence is higher. You know, now they're feeling the need to take care of themselves. You know, now they can pinpoint what it is that causes them to be in such vulnerable situations. I mean, we even went into, you know, the lack of finances and how we see that and how we allow certain things to just control us because situation where we're lacking funds. You know what I'm saying? So we got into all of that, and at this each year, you know, we just strive to continue to uplift and empower the sisters so that they know that this is something that they can do. We put female grandmasters in front of them. Some of them never even knew that there were female grandmasters, and they taught them, and they just loved it. Loved it and walked away feeling like, wow, I can do this.
Wow. You know, and Sister
Aziza, on a show that your husband did, and it was three sisters on it that I saw on his podcast, Walking with the Master show, and in what you're speaking on, He also went on to talk to them about how, I guess by doing what you're saying, you know, controlling and having the knowledge, he talked about how you can, with the right mind, save others. And so it's like when we talk about making our own communities decent, safe places to live, it's like, do we have the right mind to save others if we don't know how to save ourselves or something? That's my little part. Go ahead.
That's right. You know, because also, you know, the minister, when he was at one of the conferences, he spoke to the women, and he told the women that they need to be training. He told the women that they need to fight with everything to their death if necessary for their life, that they should not allow anyone to take from them what is not theirs. You know, so he commissioned the masters and the grandmasters to go out and teach the women. So, of course, when you teach the women, as we all know, we teach a nation. And since the mother is the one who is training and rearing that child, you know, any woman who has younger children, this is another thing that they need to learn so they can teach their children. Because, a matter of fact, there is a clip that had been shown on social media where my husband was talking to the women at a conference, and he talked about how you know, a woman will do anything. They'll find strength that they didn't know they had in order to protect their children. But it's so much better when you know exactly how to do it and your child knows how to respond in a situation so that the mother can protect her child adequately, so that while the mother has to fight or whatever, she knows where the child is. So the child is not off someplace where someone else can get to them and scoop them up and take them away, but how you have to stay together. It was a really beautiful clip. But these are some of the things that, you know, we teach in our classes. These are some of the things that, you know, sometimes, you know, every day, I mean, you might not even be thinking about it, you know. But it's definitely something that we have to think about because this time is serious. And the more we lose in this economy, the more when famine comes, when all these things start happening, people are going to want to survive, and they're not going to care about you. They're going to care about what you have, and they're coming for it.
And that is definitely it. I mean, that's the reason why we must train our community. You can't just have some soup in your house and nobody else have it, and you come out with a big belly and their eyes, you know, bulging out trying to find something to eat. So you better make sure that everybody knows. And that is self-improvement is the basis for community development. Mm-hmm. And we are taught to make our community a safe and decent place to live. So that means that all of us must train. And as a collective ummah, collective community, we work together. So what you know, each one, what? Teach one.
Each
one. So that's what we do. Each one, teach one. And we share this information. And the beauty of the international training conference, here's another thing about it. The beauty of GM, the beauty of Grandmaster is that he welcomes other art forms that may not be under the umbrella of VSK.
Absolutely.
And he brings in the scholarships and the martial arts scholars to offer, and he offers that to his students and other students to train to learn. So when you are confident in yourself and being a student of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, our ego, we don't allow the ego to get in the way of receiving knowledge.
Right.
And we know even he says a grandmaster, Grandmaster GM, he may be a grandmaster, he is still learning. And we are all still learning. So this seminar allows for you to experience a lot of the world of the martial arts. And those that love it and do this, and this is their lifestyle. So that's another beautiful component of this. I'm going to go ahead, and once again, you're tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. I'm going to go ahead and grab the first two callers on the show, and maybe by that time our brother may be able to jump on. But I want to get those so we can knock out some of the callers, and then we're going to get back into the conference because we can start going back into to the history. Because I said it's the 27th annual. But there was a day one. I didn't start day one. I wasn't one of the day ones. But I'm one that's committed now. We want to talk about how it has progressed and grown over the years. But our first caller has a comment, Brother Daryl. Brother Daryl, Sister Ula always competing for that first place spot calling in. But Brother Daryl, welcome to the show.
As-salamu alaykum, family. How you doing, Brother Terrence?
Well, as-salam, sir.
Sister Azila, as-salamu alaykum, sister. I had a question. Yes, ma'am. What sparked that? It was a good question that Sister Pamela asked about. Is it too late? And you said, no, it's not. If you can move your limbs or whatever, you could do something. Well, I always had a question about someone that's in a condition like I am. I can move and do everything, but I lost my sight doing surgery 9 years ago. And I wonder, is there anything that a blind person could do in defense? Because I noticed, like, it took me back to the Karate Kid when Sister was asking the question. And he was blindfolded, and he was going on sensors. And I noticed since I have lost my sight, my hearing has got fine-tuned. I was talking to my grandson's grandmother, and she was doing something in the kitchen. I'm here in Florida. She's in Detroit. And I heard, she said, how did you hear that? And you're on the phone, and I don't even hear what I'm messing with because she makes products. And I said, well, I heard it, but I just wanted to know what, in case of someone like myself, and because, you know, I did take heed to what you said about your keys when you get out, when I'd be taken to therapy, because I was in a car accident and I had a back injury June the 1st. And I always take my keys out when I'm in transportation bringing me home, and I always have my key. I already have a special key that I had made with a bigger hole so I could automatically go to it. And have it ready. So when they walk me to the door, I open the door, I have my keys ready. So I was just thinking about if I am attacked from behind and I'm blind, I already know that I could use the keys or something as a weapon. But I just want to know, would they have a class for someone like myself?
Well, where do you live?
I stay in Pensacola, Florida.
Okay. Well, let me start by saying that of course you can still learn. My husband used to teach a young blind boy. He's a man now. And your senses are sharper now probably than ever before, not just your hearing. But if you think about it, you can also sense whether you've heard or not someone coming up to you, you know, whether it's the breeze you might feel, right?
Yeah.
So these things have sharpened for you. See, God always, always will give us what we need. Yes, my brother is blind. He lost his eyesight due to an optic nerve pressure. But he still trains. He's one of the grandmasters, black belts. I'm out in New York, but he still trains. He still desires. I mean, I play around and mess with him, but he can definitely block and strike because he knows, he feels where I am, okay?
Mm.
So you can. You just call into effect those super senses that you have. And, yes, you can. There's simple things, too, like you was talking about your key. But, you know, if someone comes behind you, you have your legs. You can feel the closest to them, so you can gather in your mind where that leg is, where that arm is, you know, just about how tall they are compared to you. So if you have to strike in their sternum or in their groin, and you just got to get the training, you got to get the confidence, you know, and the feeling of it all, and it'll be there. Just because you're blind,
yeah.
There's a martial art movie that I love watching with my husband, and it is Zatoichi, the Blind Swordsman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Google it and maybe have your family, you know, sit down and watch with you so, you know, they can share with you what's going on the screen, you know, but that is definitely doable.
Yes, ma'am.
I see the grandmaster trying to get in. Let me see if I can help him.
Well, thank you for that, Brother Daryl. And we want to, you know, that one of the other things that you talked about, Mama Aziza, and it made me laugh when the question was asked because I thought, I definitely want to answer this because when you talked about the movies, all I could think about was Shaw Brothers and Saturday Morning Black Belt Theater. You always see the blind man fighting someone and using all the techniques. But the reality, I remember just being in the Kuhn at my school, and, you know, closing your eyes. And one of the things that Brother Daryl did mention is when you're blind, your sense of hearing gets sharpened and you can hear movement. But not only that, mm-hmm. you know, in close quarters, anatomy is anatomy. Arms, legs, chest, sternum, you know, positioning mm-hmm. is everything. So once, you know, the best thing for a blind person, just come up close to me. Because once you get close to me, I can lock you up. I can find certain things, throat, wet spot. You know, you can feel your hands and know where everything is and where everything is, you know, necessarily is going to be. So it's a beautiful thing. And as we know, we've been taught, everyone can train. Everyone has the ability to do something with your abilities. So, yeah. So like I said, even actually, when you so-called have a disability, you now have an advantage because if somebody sees you as potentially disabled, then they think now that they'll give them a sense of thinking they can conquer you because you're lesser than. And that actually gives you the element of surprise because they don't know that you know what you know. And
that's
they think
right.
they can just come because you're blind. But as Mama Aziza said, but the way to work is to train and always keep training. And that's the key to overcoming as much of this as we possibly can.
What you can do also, if you like, I can give you number down. You can call, and I'll try to find who is in your area that you can train with, okay? The number is 773-769-7017. 773-769-7017.
All right. So before we go back to the phones, I'm just excited now. And again, you are tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network. And, you know, Dr. Ava is doing an assignment for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. She's handling what she's handling. But she said, we got to have a show. She said, we still going to have a show. Just because I'm not on, we still going to have a show. She said, Brother Terrence, you and Attorney Pamela, you all do the show. And so, yeah, we're going to have Brother Aziz on, and we want to make sure that he comes on to talk about this 27th Annual International Training Conference in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, July 29th through the 31st. And you can come on the 28th for our meet and greet and get registered and get ready, check into your hotel so you can be fresh on Friday morning. So we're grateful, and callers, we're going to come to you, but we do have now who we've been waiting on, affectionately known as GM, the Student Assistant Supreme Captain for the Nation of Islam, the National Trainer, Brother Abdul Aziz Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. Thank you very much for having us on your show. I really, really thank Sister Ava for her diligent and consistent work, and your being, you know, a right hand, making things happen. Thank you very much for having us on.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. And as we all say, affectionately, no, Mama Aziza has been holding it down. We gave the lineup for, you know, the lineup for the weekend, the meet and greet, the workshop, the plenary, what we're going to talk about, the sisters training on Saturday, the martial arts training, the beautiful banquet, the concert Saturday night, the scimitar, the martial arts training and tournament on Sunday. All of the massive things, and we also mentioned that this is not just for the Nation of Islam. This is for everybody. We want church members. We want people in the community. This is an international training conference. But I wanted you to just go ahead and give whatever you want to initially say, and then I want to go through some of the history of these 27 years. So however you want to start, and any information that you want to give us to start off.
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much. I just want to bring attention to the time in which we're in. You know, the shows that you all do are constantly bringing attention to the time and really what must be done, as the minister has stated many times. So I bring and want to bring attention to, you know, what time is this? You know, we see not only in Chicago, but in almost every city, is danger is becoming greater and greater. So our level of knowledge has to also increase to the same level. And this is something that I teach in the martial arts. And that is that depending upon a person's intent, the level of their intent against you. If someone is trying to kill you, you can't have the mindset that is less, that's less. Because we understand in science, it says that an object that is in motion tends to stay in motion unless it's acted on by an equal now, or greater. So if your intent is less than equal to the individual who is operating against you, now that's not just in a physical way, is greater than yours, you're going to find yourself lacking. And if you find yourself lacking, so what we are presenting in all that we're we are presenting in these trainings, because as you've heard all of the different things that's coming, we're presenting all aspects, or as many aspects as we can, as it relates to security training, as it relates to as it relates to being prepared in a situation that is, you know, an earthquake or whatever the case is. We want to be prepared. So you're not going to be prepared unless you have a consummate knowledge of what you're dealing with. Don't think because you are willing that you're going to be ready. You have to be willing and able. So I just want to say that this is a very important thing. This is not just for those who want to come and, you know, let me just have a good time and be around. But no, come ready and willing to understand, learn the information that's going to be presented to you, the training that's going to come, because every one of the trainers have the spirit to want to give you what they have so that you can be prepared when the situation, not if, but when it happens. Thank you.
No, thank you. And let's go deeper in that, Brother Aziz. What do you mean that we got to train? So like this title, renewing, rejuvenating, building and strengthening the mind, body, and spirit. What does that mean? We kind of talked about martial arts being a way and a lifestyle. What is this training? How did you, or what do you see this training doing to kind of buffer what you just said? What is this training for you? How do you see this training helping us with all of the things that's in the title and what you just said?
Well, I appreciate that question. What we have to look at mostly is the trainer. Where are we getting this knowledge of the situation that we are facing, okay? In terms of what we're facing, we have a man who has dedicated his entire life, you understand? He's dedicated his entire life to the resurrection of a people, to saving our lives, even facing the fact that some of us are not trying to save our lives, and even looking at him like we want to do something to him. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he is the one that we should look at to determine where we are and what we need to do. So, I mean, your president, you know, the president of the United States of America has indicated that famine is on its way. It's a global situation, not just a regional, local situation. It is a global situation that is en route. But the question is our knowledge to the level that it makes us to understand how weak or the position in which we are in? So what do we need to do to buttress? We need to have more knowledge so we can do more to close this condition. So the training. We look at the minister, and the minister says that we need to prepare ourselves for what is coming. So that means that somebody has to listen to his words and now act on those words to help us get more prepared. All we can do is present what it is that we know, and we do our best to excite the people to study, not just incite, but to make them more desirous and really make them see what the end result of it will be if you don't study, and what the result will be if you do study. So, you know, so that's why we're presenting this. We're presenting this because we know what is coming. And if you know what is coming, then what you do is you begin to prepare yourself. Okay, I know that it's going to rain. What sense does it make not to get an umbrella? So we want to prepare ourselves. So if we know that things are going to happen, if we know famine is on its way, why would you not prepare yourself physically to defend your life because others, right now, without it being troublesome, people are still wanting to take what is yours, what you work for. They want what you work for, and as though you work for them. So if they're doing this now, what will happen when you find a situation that happened like in New Orleans, and everybody was all for themselves? What do you think that the people are going to be like? It's going to be chaos in the street. And when you have chaos in the street, it is very dangerous. So this is what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. And I think one of the things that you touched on, Brother Aziz, is this, is that, and we mentioned this earlier, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's lecture, the time and what must be done. So what you're presenting to us is that this training is speaking to the time in which we live in. And there's never been a time that we shouldn't train. There's never been a time that we shouldn't prepare to defend that which we love and that which is ours. So there's always the proper time to train. And I think you said the best, it's one thing to be willing, but the question is, are we able? And I think that's the most powerful thing that you said, is because we may want to, and Mama Aziza talked about it, you know, we were talking about learning all these techniques, but one of the things we said, can we run? So if we had to run away, how far can we run? You know, you
right.
want to take off, but you can't run.
And in terms of running away, let's say it like this. Adjusting our position.
Yes, sir.
We need to adjust our position, because we're not running away from nobody, but we'll readjust our position, and that will require, you know, depending upon the time, us moving our position.
And I'm glad you said that, because very, very clear, if something is coming at us, we ain't running from the fight. We going to stand and defend ourselves. We will do that. And I think that the point that was making earlier is our physical conditioning. How physically conditioned are we? And I think that is something that we can speak about at the training. And I want to go into something about the training. Like when you started the training, you know, some people just thought it was martial arts, and some people think the training is just martial arts. Can you really go into the level of the three words that we got on there, mind, body, and spirit? How does that work in martial arts, and how are we encompassing that in the training, mind, body, and spirit? Why do all those have to go together?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, it's another wonderful question and talk that we need to have, and that is willing and able. We have to, one, first of all, let me just start off by saying security is prevention. Prevention. So the question is, what do we want to prevent? We want to prevent ourselves from being put in a position. So when we talk about mind, body, and spirit, see, your mind has to, one, it is the strongest aspect of you, that if your mind is in line with the Creator, with the God, if your mind is in line with Him, then what you, even though your body is not physically prepared to meet where your mind is, your mind can bring your body up levels beyond your physical ability. So we want to align our mind with our body so that our body will listen and adhere to the mental capacity and the thinking that you have. So you want to align your mind with your body, you know, and so we talk about spirit. Faith without works is dead. And what we want to do is not by faith nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So your spirit has to, when you get all of those three in line, you are able to do magical feats, incredible acts of courage and strength and whatnot can come out of you when you're not naturally capable of do that in your natural state, which is not being in line with your mind, your body, and your spirit. So it is important that we line our mind, our body, and our spirit so that we can achieve the unbelievable, you know. When you look at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I mean, when you talk about a man who has done magical feats, who has shown the wonders of his ability, it's beyond anyone. So when you find, when the things like the Million Man March, and even when he said a million, he wanted to pull it back, and he didn't. But not only did he get a million, he got more, almost 2 million.
That's right.
And now think about this. Now, that was with everybody talking that he talked, talking that it was about, and going against him. See, so you got to know that there was a force against him, and he still achieved that. If they were with him, what would have happened? So that's one thing. You know, there's so many more things, you know. So when you talk about, you know, what Jesus did, how Jesus performed miracles. The minister has been performing miracles, and we got to call them miracles because nobody else did them. No one else has been able to achieve the levels of what he has done. So that's so important. So he is, when we say a perfect example, man, I don't know any more perfect that can be. And as it has been said, that he is perfect enough for us. He's perfect enough for us. That is so true. So anyway, we have to be able to perform a miracle. And a miracle is someone trying to catch you off guard in some way or another. They're trying to catch you off guard. The miracle is that you never get caught off guard, meaning they can do it without you knowing that they were coming, but when they actually physically act on whatever, or even mentally act on it, if it's from a punking standpoint or if it's physical, you should be able to perform a feat that is insurmountable by your enemy. But how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that if you don't believe in yourself? If you don't even know who you are? So you got to come to know yourself, mind. I got to know what mind is it that we're talking about? Because, you know, in the Japanese art, you know, they will say there are many minds, and you have to free yourself of many minds. And there are many minds. There are, see, so, you know, and when you look at a God, worshiping a God beside God, so you're worshiping another mind, somebody else's mind, and you take on their thinking, you take on their coloring, you take on their look, and now you are operating with all of those different colors in your head, all of those different minds, which now, and none of them are yours. So, you know, I'm sorry to be long-winded, but it's very important. And renewing your mind, renewing, because you got to know that you're not who you're supposed to be. You got to know that you're willing to come in and relieve yourself of your own thinking so that you can capture and take on the mind that you should. So that's what I would say to that.
Yes, sir. Once again, you're tuned in to Ask Dr. Ava on the Elevated Places Network, and we definitely want you all to join in Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the international 27th annual International Training Conference, and you can go to thevskjujitsu.com, thevskjujitsu.com. Before I go back to the callers, one sister just called in, and maybe Sister Attorney may have one more thing as well, but Sister Donna that's on our team, Sister Donna out of Memphis, she's now in Chicago getting ready for Sister Carmen in the Modest Fashion Show, and she wasn't able to call in, but she wanted to make sure to ask the question, why is it so important in this hour that we make sure that we learn how to secure our own homes?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is that question for me?
Either one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes,
you are mama.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, we have to secure our homes. It's like asking, you know, should a country secure its borders?
Right.
It is because, you know, it is yours. And anything that's yours, you have to be responsible for. And it is irresponsible to not be prepared to defend your home, your city, your state, your country. It's irresponsible for us to be in that situation. So we have to prepare ourselves so that when a situation arises, our children will know, okay, how do we get out of here if it's a fire? Well, where is the boiler? Where is the kitchen? If this goes up and we can't stop it, what do we do? How do we handle ourselves? So if you're going to wait until fire happens, you got to know that you're going to only be confused. And confusion creates opportunity for failure, for death, and loss. So we have to make sure that we are able, if a fire happens, you are separated from your children. Do you know? Do you know what they're going to do? I think it was today or yesterday, there were some children that died in a home along with another fella because, and I can't say that they hadn't practiced it, but I know that they were in separate areas, and the question is, what did they do? Did they know what to do? Did they know where to go? Do you just open up a door? Do you fill a door to see if there's heat on the other side of the door? Do we have ladders that are set to put out of your window? And have you trained the children how to move? If your children are on one side, do they know what to do? If there's a fire, do they know how to drop and roll? It is so imperative that we know. Also, you have break-ins. You have where people are breaking into your home. And if someone breaks into your home, what do you do? How is your children going to respond? You know, we think that we can protect everybody. Well, you can't because you're not with them all the time. So if something happens, do they know? So it's very important. It is it's the utmost of importance to have your family knowledgeable on how to survive in abnormal circumstances. Not normal, abnormal.
That's right. And that, yes, sir. And one of the past trainings, a brother Amir and Sister Sierra did something with their family in their home, showing exactly what you're talking about, how to be prepared for that. And Brother Emmanuel did a training when he was in person doing some training. Mm-hmm. So this national training shows all of this. And once again, go to thevskjujitsu.com. thevskjujitsu.com, and starting on Friday is the plenary sessions with powerful messages, and the National Assistant Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad will be up, assistant to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Student Minister Ishmael Muhammad will be opening us up, going into our plenary sessions with workshops, and then going into Juma, and then more workshops and breakout sessions, and the start of our martial arts that evening. Saturdays, women's training, children's training, the general martial artists. We have a powerful banquet, wonderful food, wonderful concert, awards banquet, the martial arts tournament on Sunday. So there's so much richness that you're going to get from all of the things that our brother GM, Brother Abdul Aziz, just mentioned, from the mind, body, and spirit. And Sister Pamela, did you have anything before I go to our next caller?
Well, you know what? Assalamu alaikum, Brother Abdul Aziz Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. It's such an honor and to be on this program with you. And I was saying earlier that I had looked at your podcast, Walking with the Master shows, and the Facebook page that you have. And thank you, too, for that information, because it's really, really informative. And so I just wanted to ask you, I heard a brother say that he thought that this training, one of the brothers that you were on a podcast with or a Zoom on, he said that this training was some of the most important training that we have. And also, could you touch on how conflict resolution with all these shootings and people not able to solve differences, does this training also help us be better at conflict resolution?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, great, great. Yes, ma'am, absolutely. Conflict resolution is I want to start the conversation about conflict resolution inside yourself. We, when we're looking at the different conflicts that we have internally, this is where some suicide and that conflict comes up inside yourself, and it's because we don't have in our ability mentally, the ability to overcome the conflict that's inside our own head. So learning conflict resolution starts with yourself. Understanding, getting information about who you are, what you mean, your importance. And then so when we look at that, we just take that same model and put it in a situation that is dealing with persons. We have to make them to understand who they are and what this means. So it's got to be bigger, because right now conflicts are, you know, one is killing another, you know, so you have families, or you have, you know, it's really organizations, and what happens is this one killed this one, and then it goes on like those shows of westerns that what is the Clampets and the McCoys, and it's just been happening for years. You don't even know why it started or how it started, some of the brothers out there. So we have to come out and bring them a knowledge that is superior than what they are using. We have to make them to learn who they are. We gotta share with them who God is, how they are related to Him. And now that's a wider view, but then we got to go right into the issues and the problems that they're having, and see if we can come to a resolve in those feuds. So it's important that we deal with conflict resolution, because some of these things are started with just relationships. It could be, you know, a young girl could have created this situation, or it was due to a young girl, not that she created it. You'll have something that happened where you don't even know what started this with these two brothers. You understand? So anyway, so conflict resolution is so, so powerful, so necessary for us to understand the process of how to resolve issues and look at it and see. And we have brothers and persons who have done this, who actually settled differences, and we're talking about where murder was involved. And we're able and have been able to resolve the issue, bringing them to a better thinking, you know. So yes, I would just say that. Did I miss a portion of the question?
You answered it, I believe, but I think also on the wider view of martial arts training, because some of us, like myself, may think, oh, that's for people who are interested in, you know, karate or, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Got you.
And so
Got
the brother
you.
Was saying, no, this is bigger than that. It's really very important training. So I just also, but thank you for your answer. That was beautiful teaching, sir.
Okay. Yes. So, so in terms of well, let me say this. In the event, 85-90% of the people are novice. They have no training ability, meaning they don't know. They're not martial artists. So no one has to come believing that martial arts needs to be known. No, it's not super sophisticated as it relates to that. It is something that is everyone, especially if you don't know anything. You need to come on in so that we can introduce you. It's an introduction to the training that we have going on. So yes. Don't feel like you have to be a martial artist. If you want to save your life, if you want to defend your life, if you need it, it's better to have and not need than to need and not have.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's right. So let me go right back to the callers, and I know we got our long-standing caller, and hopefully she is not knocked out straight out of Detroit. Sister Ula, I think you had a comment or a question.
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, ma'am.
I was afraid you couldn't hear me because I accidentally touched the phone. I got to tell you, if somebody keeps touching their phone, and I keep hearing it say, doo, 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 doo. So I thought I would let y'all know that. I heard the Honorable Louis Farrakhan here in Detroit in 2013. He told the believers to learn self-defense. And I think that's a very important part of life. I started as a teenager studying self-defense. And I thank Allah for that experience. But I'm going to say this to Brother Terrence. Because that's my gift. I study facial expressions. And whenever I see someone that is troubled, I can see that sometimes the family can't see. So a hint to the wise is sufficient. And Brother Nuri was here this past Sunday, and he rocked the house. It was so enlightening. And anyone who wants to hear that great lecture, all they need to do is capital L-O-V-E and his phone number. I guess I'll have to put it on, what's the name of that thing? Messenger. But I think everyone will enjoy it. And also, I'm selling recipe boxes, recipes of all organic ingredients, pastries baked with honey. And anyone who is interested can contact me through, what is that, social media, Ula Bakia. Salam. Alaikum.
Well, alaikum salam. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for that call. And our next caller is Sister Lestine. I believe that's Sister Lestine. You have a question. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Yeah, a little low, but we can hear you, but just a little low.
All right. I think it's my phone. Can you hear me better now?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence. Sister Attorney Pamela, Grandmaster Brother Abdul Aziz Muhammad and Mama Aziza Muhammad. I actually know someone on the show. Praise is due to Allah. What a privilege. Yes, I have been blessed within the last 20 and 25 years to teach a few of their children music, and I even got a hold of of a granddaughter of theirs, Allahu Akbar. So I'm readying up myself to get the great-grands and the great-great-grands. Praise be to Allah.
That's right.
This question is, please, I think I'm directing it to Sister Attorney Pamela and yourself, Brother Terrence, but I feel like any of you can have input. It's a question I've been longing to ask, and I pray this is the right time, inshallah. With all that we have been guided into doing with the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, are we now at a time, Sister Attorney Pamela in particular, are we now at a time where we can begin to think of the Nation of Islam as a sovereign entity, literally a sovereign country? I know we have not 100% identified our boundaries, but we have a constitution. We have a council. We have our ministries. We have, I want to single out protocol. We have everything working. So even if it is just simply for the formal mindset, are we at a point where the Nation of Islam can think of itself as a sovereign and most independent, but a sovereign nation that nations around the world will have to deal with very soon? And I thank you for allowing me to ask the question, and I will leave with the greeting words of peace, and I will listen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, ma'am. You know, I would first, you know, just making an effort to just kind of give a piece of that answer, I would always go to the back page of the final call to the Muslim program, what the Muslims want, because I would always rely on what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, and he's saying, you know, such, you know, we want certain things, and as long as we are not allowed to establish a state or territory of our own, we demand not only equal justice under the laws of the United States, but equal employment. And so, you know, we do have what the Muslims want. We want justice. You know, we want these things. Our people and our grandparents, whose parents or grandparents were descendants from, allowed to establish a separate territory, state or territory of their own. And, you know, and again, the number one would be, we want freedom. You know, we want full and complete freedom. And as, I don't know if you listened to A Time for Justice ever, but I know a couple of weeks ago, Brother Abdul Arif Muhammad was on, and along with Sister Judge Nichelle, and we were talking about Juneteenth. Now, we were using that as an opportunity to talk about how we want full and complete freedom, but we know we don't have it at this point. But I think also, you know, in line with Sister Ava, she likes to talk about, you know, how states operate independently. So looking at the different framework, you know, we know that we have, what are we talking about? Making our communities decent and safe places to live, and Dr. Ridgely. So, you know, that I see that picture, what you're saying, coming together, sis. But right, that would be my response, you know, and I don't know if anybody else has, you know, a lot more to add to that. But thank you for that question. It's beautiful.
I defer to those that are in charge. No, Brother Z, did you have anything you want to say before I make a comment?
No, sir. I thought that was very good answer there.
Okay. All right. There we go. Well, let's get one more caller before we kind of close it out with you, Brother Aziz. Brother Hoyle, all the way from Memphis, welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Beautiful show. Beautiful. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Supreme Aziz and Sister Aziza. I'll pray to do to Allah for you all. Beautiful show. Yes, sir. I remember when you came to Memphis, and it was such a – I learned so much. And, you know, you were talking about getting ourselves right. I remember the minister saying that our bodies, you know, we carry an atmosphere like the earth. And, you know, in order for Allah to back us, we want to have the right atmosphere. So, you know, in martial arts, it's in tune with the teachings. You know, if we want Allah to back us, we're going to have to be right. So that's the spirituality along with the martial arts training that goes along with it. And it's such a beautiful I wanted to ask a question, Brother Aziz and Sister Aziza. What could you go over the classes and explain each class for the seminars? And I'll get off, let somebody else talk. As-salamu alaykum. Beautiful show.
Wa alaykum salam. Sister Aziza, do you have the classes in front of you?
No, sir, I don't.
All right. Brother Terrence, do you have that? See, there's so many.
Yes,
I couldn't go over each and every one of them. But in terms of explanation, what I want everyone to look at, though, is that we have professionals presenting each of the areas, you know. So I wouldn't want to give it to you in that way. I would want to let you know what is there, and your expectations will bring you to the event so that you can, you know, get the benefit of its presence. But Brother Terrence, you can share some of the particular topics again, if you could.
Yes, sir. And just so people know, like I said, this is the mind, body, and spirit. So there's definitely going to talk about, well, one of the things we already talked about, conflict resolution. That's going to be there. We're going to talk about, you know, we've talked about earlier, agriculture. Where does agriculture got to do in self-defense? How are you going to feed yourself if you're trying to defend yourself? We're going to talk about that, how to move. And, you know, one of we got it saying we move people. But how did you move in your coming and going? But how do you move in vehicles as you're transporting and traveling? Definitely got to talk about mental health. If we talk about the mind, mental health and stability and sustaining mental health and the things that throw our mental stability off and just having real conversations about that. And as the women's only, just their defense. But even in that defense class, it's not just the physical, mental things that sisters need to have that conversation about. And so I want people to understand, and, you know, you have the dignitaries, protection, you got the extraction, you got the stuff that sometimes we like to look good stuff. Oh, I want to learn that. But we also encompass where we want to start off. You know, understanding the mindset, understanding getting your mind right, getting your mental right, because, you know, Carter G. Woodson said, if I got your mind, I ain't got to worry about your body. So that's why sometimes we want to get all big, but your mind is not right and you don't be in the right position. So that's so much that we can give y'all, but no, we don't want y'all. We want y'all to show up. But know that when you get it, you're going to get some of the best training that you've ever had, and you're going to be like, man, why didn't nobody tell me about this? Why didn't y'all let me know before now? And you're going to be coming back. We have repeat customers coming to the national training. And not only do we have repeat customers coming back to the national training, we have influx of new people that come every year because someone told them about the value of the national training. And like I say NASA, but it's really international training. And we do have people coming internationally to this training. And I also want to say again, even on the martial arts side, you're not just going to have this many masters and grandmasters in one room that are actually volunteering and giving of their time. And what I mean by volunteering, they giving because they really want to be there. Then they were forced. They're looking forward to being at the international training to give this expertise. And the brothers and sisters that are out in the field doing these workshops, they're actually doing this on a day-to-day basis. So when Brother Aziz said the conflict resolutions, no, this is not talk conflict resolution. This is real conflict resolution where you're really sitting down with people that have weapons when beef has been happening or murders have happened and really using this into practical sense. So, yes, sir. But Brother Aziz, go ahead.
Brother Terrence?
Yes, ma'am.
Just to whet his appetite a little further, I'll share the fact that we have Brother Dimitri, who's going to be talking about the defense of the truth and the strengthening of the faith, and Brother Ilya Rashad, Lessons from the Bees, Principles of Nation Building. Okay? So we have these preparations for active shooter situations. And we also are going to be blessed with Brother Nori, Sister Teresa, Sister Aisha on the struggle for balance. Okay? And we always make sure that on Friday we break for Juma. So, you know, that's building our spirituality right there. And as usual, we have Sister Christina from the 10,000 Fearless group, How to Survive the First 90 Days After a Catastrophic Event. That's really, along with our Brother Rudolph, Surviving the Disaster, Reconciliation to Recovery, you know. So this is, oh, my God, it's a super packed event, because we're then going to have another breakout that talks about the health challenges you must control for battle, okay? And, I mean, this is just awesome. People who want to know about estate planning, because we're talking about being ready, so that's a part of being ready as well. And the farming as a way of self-defense. Those are the topics for that weekend's conference. I didn't tell you all of it, but that's a lot.
And thank you for that question, Brother Hoy. And hopefully that inspired everybody. And as we wrap up, because unfortunately, we thank Dr. Ava for allowing us to have this show and invite you all. We got like 2 minutes left for the show. So are there any closing things that you want to say, Brother Abdul Aziz or Mama Aziza, before we close out and wrap up this show? Thank you for being on.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Please, you know, share our love with Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. Really, we really appreciate her for the work that she does. Always, she's been a fighter and a champion for us, and it's always beautiful to see a sister who, you know, and I'll say it like this: when I'm training and teaching, and I'm talking to the sisters, I tell them that you should not, and I don't want you to be looking to be referred to as a sister. I want you to feel like you want to be referred to as a warrior. See, that warrior doesn't have a gender, you know, is a female warrior. No, you're a warrior, and a warrior is one who understands war and can battle with anyone. So she's that. She's a warrior in our nation for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and our people, and I'm really happy that we have her on our side. And I have to say that for all of you, for you all who work with her all the time, and you're constantly fighting on these airwaves, constantly dealing with combating with minds that are present out there, overcoming those that kind of thinking to lead them in the right path. So anyway, I just want to thank you on behalf of my whole team, because, you know, we're really all on the same team, but the team that is with me pulling this all together. This is going to be our 27th year working. So I'm sorry, you said 2 minutes, so let me close it and just say thank you again very much for having me and us.
Well, no, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again on behalf of our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, and our Elevated Places Network team, Sister Rona, our executive producer, Sister Attorney Pamela, all that are calling in, and we thank the callers again for being tuned in once again to Ask Dr. Ava, and we welcome you and invite everybody next Thursday, same time. Go to thevskjujitsu.com for the 27th Annual National Training Conference. Thank you once again, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
salam.
Wa alaikum salam.